You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Rachel and Gabby's season of The Bachelorette and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 298. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. A great show for you today. The leading ladies of season two of F-Boy Island, Luis Bernard, Mia Jones, and Tamara Sepulveda joining me today to talk about what you just saw on the final two episodes released on HBO Max today of F-Boy Island season two. We will get to that momentarily.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria on hard, non-porous surfaces around your home with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Save big money at Menards. Get your garden ready with groundbreaking power equipment from Earthquake. Tillers are great for breaking up compact soil and killing weeds in your garden. Get maximum power in a compact frame with a Pioneer rear tine tiller. It features dual direction tines and self-propelled steel wheels. Hurry in for all of your lawn and garden needs and visit Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Now, moving forward, I will say this. If you have not watched the final two episodes that were released today, I would suggest watching those before listening to this podcast, because all we do in this podcast is go over what happened in the finale and talk spoilers and stuff like that. I'm even going to talk spoilers here in the beginning of the open. So I would just suggest to you, if you don't want to be spoiled, just turn off this podcast and listen at another time, just because it'll be easier for you. But I do have a few things that I definitely want to cover before we get into the podcast. First thing I want to say is, in terms of this interview and when it was recorded, we recorded this on Tuesday, and obviously that was before the episodes were released. The women hadn't even seen the episodes, so I didn't focus too much on specifics of what you saw in the final two episodes, because they hadn't seen it yet. But, so we just basically go over the ending and their decisions and what's been happening since then. You'll hear the answer to those. And I think one thing that is missed in the podcast, because we recorded on Tuesday, is I wasn't allowed to see the feedback from people online who had watched the finale. And that was, you know, that was key. I wanted to know, because it would have been nice to ask them, hey, what are you getting? But there was something that came up, because I'd been in touch with Tamaris and we'd been kind of been going back and forth about everything, you know, because just like anybody else, you get stuff sent to you online. And as a contestant on this show, you're wondering, are people going to like what we did? And I know leading into the finale being posted today that Tamaris just didn't know if people were going to think, wow, what a bitch, or wow, that was a boss move. I personally think the latter. I thought it was awesome. I said it in my daily roundup that was posted earlier today. I thought this was a Nick Peterson Bachelor Pad 3 moment where you can't top what Tamaris did. Unless you change the rules in season 3, I don't think you can top that. I thought that was a perfect ending to the show. Because all we've been thinking about is F-boys, F-boys, F-boys. And she's like, I'm an F-girl. These guys aren't going to play me. I'm going to take the money. You just gave me the option to take the money. I'm taking it. Because these guys weren't worth my time. And you'll hear Tamaris, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that whatsoever. I thought it was a great ending. I absolutely loved it. I also love the fact that they gave us that flashback of all the times that she said things over the course of the season, which made sense when seeing her final decision. Telling Asante she cheated in her past. Telling Nico in a conversation when he asked her what motivates her, she said money. Telling Nico on their final date, I've had my F-girl phase. It was all there, for sure. And it was nice to see that. Because honestly, if they didn't show that at the end, the flashbacks, I would have been like, why did she do that? Why did she take the money? Why didn't she just pick Casey? But we'll also get into Casey and the things that have happened since the show and the things that she has heard since the show and just Casey in general. You'll know why she chose the money. But, and this is very important, this happens in Bachelor and Bachelorette world, and now it's happening in this show. And I guess it happens in all reality shows because no one in reality TV is universally liked. It's absolutely impossible to be liked by everybody. But it's one thing to be liked and criticized for what you did on TV. It's another thing to be bullied and be given death threats. And I talk about it all the time. Like, you guys need to lay off. And if you've never sent a text message like this or an email like this to somebody or a DM like this to somebody, then I'm not referring to you. But there are people out there that do this. This morning, Tamara sent me a message that she had received from somebody who had clearly, I guess, watched the finale. And this was a Twitter DM. And I'm going to read it to you. This is what he wrote to Tamaris. You're the biggest slut on the show. You're being Y-O-U-R, so you can't even spell. I'm sure Tamaris's parents are either rolling in their grave or preparing suicide after realizing what a mistake they have made. Making a clown of yourself on national television is crazy. If I had to give any advice to sluts like you, it would be to jump off a tall building. But your woman brain is probably too stupid to read into that, so kill yourself. That's what someone messaged Tamaris this morning. I don't even know why I even have to address something like this, but it bothers me. We've seen The Bachelor do it where they read mean tweets and disgusting tweets, whether it's racist or homophobic or threatening tweets like this, telling people to kill themselves. I mean, it's very hard for me to understand the mentality of someone who writes a message like that to somebody they saw on television. But as I told her back today, I said, look, Tamaris, I'm going to be honest with you. This is obviously screams of somebody with small dick energy, for sure. And this screams of somebody who's absolutely jealous of her because he knows that he could never, ever have sex with a woman like that. He could never, ever be with a woman like that. So what he does is tear her down and tell her she's worthless and go kill herself. Because he knows that she would never give him the time of day. And he's mad at that, so he takes it out on her. That's really what this is. And it's really for most people who do that, to the women of this franchise. On any reality TV franchise. I mean, to say that to someone you saw on a TV show for 10 episodes, I'm sorry. You are mentally deranged, and I've been saying it for years, there's only so much we can do, but anybody who writes a message like that when they are reported to Twitter or Instagram should never be allowed to have a social media account ever again. Or at least like a 5-year suspension. And I know Twitter and Instagram probably get stuff like this sent to them all the time and it's just impossible to keep up. And even if you do suspend them, they'll probably just create another email and sign in under a different address and create a new account. Because if they're that deranged to send that to somebody, they're probably just sick enough to just keep starting new accounts to continue their hatred towards people. But that is absolutely disgusting. And to see that, to see that she was getting that, really bothered me this morning. And I asked her. I said, hey, I didn't just use that without her permission. I said, Tamaris, can I use this on my podcast today? Because I want to get it out there that this is not okay. I can't even believe I have to say that publicly. This is not okay. Of course it's not okay. But clearly we know people do this on every show out there with reality TV people. Just sending stuff like this, because why? You know, you could just do a whole deep dive on this person. And I guarantee if you did a deep dive on this person's background, who they are, where they live, what they do, I guarantee it probably isn't something impressive. You know? But you send this to somebody, even privately, you deserve any wrath you get coming your way. Not in terms of physical violence or anything, but you deserve to be suspended and never have the right to go on social media again. I know that's pretty much impossible to police, but come on. Telling her to jump off a tall building, telling her to kill herself, calling her the biggest slut on the show. Like, what is wrong with you people? Good Lord. Oh, God, that's so infuriating. It's ridiculous. So I tried to pump up Tamaris as much as I could. She was pretty down when she got that. So, you know, I said, hey, just, I know it's tough, but just don't listen to it. You realize this guy's a loser. He's doing it out of jealousy. He probably has a giant truck that has wheels that are, you know, 7 feet high to overcompensate for his small dick. So don't worry about him. But yeah, that'd bother anybody. I can't imagine that it wouldn't. But anyway, before we get started with the podcast, just want to let you know, this podcast is brought to you by Green Chef. Green Chef now offers more variety and flexibility than ever before with double the choices. You can now choose from all 24 recipes weekly with the option to mix and match meals from different preferences, i.e. you have vegan one day, you can have keto the next day, paleo the other day. Do members of your household eat differently? Now you can order meals to suit every single lifestyle. Fast and fit, gluten-free, Mediterranean, like I said, vegan, keto, paleo. Exciting and delicious meals support a healthy lifestyle. Green Chef keeps mealtime interesting without sacrificing taste. It's the number one meal kit for eating well with dinners that work for you, not the other way around. So this is something that's been sent to me. I've told you numerous times. I've had to do this. We had it on July 4th. I've had to use it because I love it. And I'm starting to eat better. And I think it's something that needs to be incorporated probably a little bit more into my life, because you know I don't like to cook. And this makes it so much easier. 25, 30 minutes, they send you all the ingredients. Very easy to follow the instructions. It's simple. Even for a novice cook like myself, I can make it, and so should you. So go to greenchef.com/realitysteve135 and use code realitysteve135 to get $135 off across 5 boxes plus free shipping on your first box. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. All right, let's get going. You're hearing them. I believe they have not addressed this on their Instagram or anything just yet. I don't believe any interviews they've done have been posted yet. So you will hear for the first time where all of them stand since the show filmed. And this show filmed back in February. So here we go. Podcast number 298.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, let's bring them in. You saw them as the leads on this season of F-Boy Island, Season 2. It is Luis Bernard, Mia Jones, and Tamaris Sepulveda. Ladies, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we got to get started here with this. I want to start off by congratulating all of you for doing absolutely nothing to dispel the notion that nice guys finish last. Congratulations. I feel great now. I really feel like I got hope now out there. Okay, there's so much to get covered here, and we got three of you online. So I want to address, like, individually first, and then we'll just kind of open it up for discussion. All right, let's start out with Louise. Louise, I really enjoyed your journey. I think I'm probably like most people who are going to be disappointed in your choice of Mercedes. I just think the audience is really going to, they really just like Bennett. He's a likable guy. Like, I mean, you saw on the mansplaining episode, everybody freaking loved him. They cheered for him. They wanted him to win. They all told you should pick him. So what went into the decision to choose Mercedes over Benedict?
I mean, Mercedes and I had had more dates. We had more time spent together. We had gone through stuff, like more up and down and arguments and stuff. So I feel like going through all that with Mercedes, it just made us a little bit closer. Whereas with Benedict, we didn't really have any adversity or anything. Like, he was obviously, he's such a great guy, a sweetheart. And I love that about him, but it just didn't make sense for me to choose him because I just didn't feel as close with him and as, like, comfortable with him as I did with Mercedes.
Was there really something to do with, like, just the fact that there, it didn't seem like there was some sort of, you know, edge to him and you wanted somebody that had a little bad boy streak in them? Because he really does seem like the nicest guy in the world, but didn't have much, I don't know, game or edge to him.
I mean, honestly, I'm used to dating F-boys. I'm used to dating assholes. So, like, I think I was missing a little bit of that. But I also, you know, I think that there were times where I, like, it was a joke a lot of the times. Like, some of the conversations that we would have where we had to talk about something more serious, it would kind of be masked with humor because I have humor as a, I use humor as a defense mechanism. And he's a comedian. So it's like, it was hard to have serious conversations with him. And that's obviously something that I want in my partner. So
when you were watching the episodes back, did the stuff that Mercedes was saying in his confessionals or whatever you want to call them, ITMs.
It pissed me.
did that bother you to hear him say a lot of the stuff that he was just like from the very beginning, just kind of like, hey, this, I'm going to win. And these guys are playing for second place, you know, just this comments he was making that he was clearly going to win.
No, it definitely pissed me off because I knew that he came in as an F-boy, but I didn't know he was like that much of an F-boy. And I'm sitting here watching the first three episodes with him. So I'm like, just looking up like, are you fucking kidding me? And so, I mean, I had no idea he was like that because in the house, obviously later throughout the story, I realized that he has this temper and that a lot of the guys in the house think he's a snake. But I never saw that. He was always, like, more quiet. I didn't really think he had a lot of friends in the house because he was just, like, focused on me. But, yeah, I had no idea that he was saying those outright blatant fuckboy things.
Okay, so I guess my question to you is, and I think the thing that everyone wants to know, is where do you guys stand today?
Up in the air right now. He's coming for the finale in Miami, so we're gonna spend time together, but we've kind of been a little on and off. I think there was a lot of pressure following the show, and then the premiere kind of brought some other pressure because I was obviously mad about the way that he was just being so cocky about wanting to win and take all the money. So I wasn't aware of that at all, so I think that added some stressors, but, you know, he's like, he's a really good guy deep down. And so it's kind of up in the air right now.
Was he kind of like playing a role? Because in the, maybe it was the first episode, he legitimately said, like, I am here to win and I'm going to get to the end and I'm going to take the money. And then obviously he accomplished all he needed to accomplish, but then he ended up splitting it with you. So did that like earn you any points with him now that you heard that after the fact? Or how soon after the show ended filming did you realize that he had said that? Did he tell you like, hey, just so you know, at the beginning I told everybody I was taking the money and I ended up with you?
He didn't told me. He told me nothing. So literally I'm like, he said, I'm an F-boy, like, you know, I'm kind of the villain on the show. And I'm like, okay, you're the villain. Like, okay, so you're going to, whatever. They think you're going to take the money. But I mean, he didn't warn me at all about like, saying, yeah, I'm going to take money. Oh, it's that easy. Like, I look like a dumbass. And that's the biggest thing. I'm like, hello? You could have given me a little bit of warning.
So is your... Like you said, it's kind of on and off. Is it just once you've gotten off the island, obviously you spend more time with someone and you get to know them outside of a TV show where cameras are rolling and you could be putting on an act for somebody. Is it just that it's just not there or you still need more time?
I mean, I think we're just trying to figure out like things being long distance. Yeah. And obviously like we have our, you know, own lives outside of the island, so like trying to merge those when he lives in Texas and I live in Miami, it's just a little bit more difficult. So like there are some things that we need to figure out.
Okay.
And I think I kind of wait for the show to air because I don't know, I just wanted to watch how everything played out because I really didn't know that he was acting that way in his interviews and in his confessionals. I couldn't see any of that. And you know, we were very separated, like the girl in a totally different house. We can't talk to the guys off camera. So it's like all of those conversations. I mean, we did have some conversations where we resolved things that weren't like they weren't shown. But I mean, yeah, I had no idea that he was that much of an asshole.
And I think him acting the way he did, coupled with Benedict being so opposite of him, like you had the two most opposite guys in your final two for sure. And I think that's why. I mean, I think just everyone loves Benedict, and it'll be interesting to see. The reviews are probably rolling in as we speak. I just getting the sense all season people don't like F-boys, and Mercedes certainly played the part of one, and he got picked over the nice guy in the house. So
I know, and Benedict is really such a sweet guy. Like he's so solid, and I wish, like, you know, it was just hard because we didn't have as much time with each other as I had with Mercedes because, you know, I was dealing with issues where we had to confront the issues. So I was, all my attention was going to that with Mercedes, where it was kind of like, you know, I didn't get as many dates with Benedict then, but he's such a great guy and he's going to find someone.
Were Benedict and Mercedes your two guys from the beginning? Did you kind of know that they were going to end up being your final two fairly early on?
Yeah, I think I kind of did. I mean, obviously, like, you know, I had whatever with Kylan and then Nick, too. Nick is a sweetheart, but I think I kind of knew it was between Benedict and Mercedes all along.
Okay. Well, I mean, we'll be back to you in a bit. And, you know, we wish you luck with Mercedes.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks.
I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
All right, Mia, I want to move on to you. You had a hell of a journey because you were the only one of the three who had no choice but to pick an F-boy. Your final four were an F-boy. Like, you kind of had to have an idea of who was a nice guy and who was an F-boy, right? Like, was it just that you just didn't want, you just weren't connecting with any of the nice guys to where you couldn't even bring one of them to your final four? Or are you blindsided when they did reveal, oh, shit, there goes another nice guy. There goes another nice guy.
No, I had, I think using Tamaris and Louise, I think we all agreed on who was a nice guy, who was an F-boy. At some point, I realized, like, episode 3, I was like, I definitely have all the F-boys in coming after me. I said, I know that for sure. Except for Kian. Kian was, that was rude. That was really fake of him. I was shook. But at one point in time, I just kind of knew that I was going to have to reform an F-boy because I'm like a girl with an edge. So like, I want a guy with like the same type of edge as I have. And if it's being an F-boy, then I must be an F-girl.
So you, from the very first episode, made it known that you were into Peter from season 1, which was kind of surprising because Peter didn't make much of, I mean, he was a one episode guy last season, or maybe second episode, but he did not last. I think he was gone the first rose ceremony. So what made you interested in Peter from last season? Like, I was kind of shook at that. Not that he's not, you know, whatever.
I think Peter's hilarious. Like, even when he was like with Nikki and Limbro, like, yeah. I like a fun guy. Like, my dream guy is Adam Sandler. So if you're funny, you know, you can kind of get a little, and hot, you know, you can kind of get a little bit more of a something out of me. But something about him, like how he carried himself, or also he's from Virginia and Washington, D.C., and I was born there. That's where most of my family lives. So it was like we had like that connection that I couldn't kind of get rid of. And then I also like stalked his social media a little bit. Yeah. But
he's the Korean poppy. I mean, that's what he
is. He's the Korean,
Korean poppy.
He's the Korean poppy.
Okay, so you get down to Peter and Danny. Yeah, obviously Kian and Brayden with your other 3 and 4. But you get down to Peter and Danny. Was there ever any thought? It doesn't seem like it, just based on talking to you and then knowing that you had Peter in your head before the season even started, and then once you saw him on the island, you're like, okay. But was there any thought to Danny, or no?
There was a huge thought to Danny. I could not make up my mind on who I was going to pick. Danny and I have like a connection on the island where it's like he's like that nurturing like guy that I've always wanted, but he's also like a loudmouth. And he has that edge to him that, you know, people aren't going to walk all over him, but he's going to take care of his girl, but fuck everybody else. And I like Danny still, like, he's like that guy that, you know, has that edge, but also has that sweet side. It took me hours to figure out who I was going to pick. And it was really hard. Like, Tamaris and Louise can like vouch for me that they thought I was going to pick Danny. They didn't think I was going to pick Peter. There's a lot that's missing in the show.
Was there any thought to, when I think of Danny, obviously, was there any thought to maybe the reason you didn't pick him was because you thought he would end up taking the money? Because let's face it, I was surprised as well that he was, I guess I was surprised that he was an F-boy when he announced it. Maybe I was reading him wrong, but was there thought to, I'm leaning towards Peter because I think if I pick Danny, he would take the money? Or were you convinced Danny had basically reformed himself as an F-boy?
I had a feeling that Danny was going to take the money, especially after the mansplain, when everybody said whatever they had to say about him.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to take that, you know, lightly. Like, I took all the guys' opinions to the heart, especially, like, Jabrian, Mikey D, and Asante, because those are the guys that, you know, I grew a friendship with outside of the romantic connection. So their opinions matter to me. Your friends should like who you date. If they don't, then that's usually a big red flag that, you know, he's probably not the right guy for you. So after hearing what they said, I was 50-50, and it looked like I was juggling back and forth, and I really couldn't make up my mind.
So when you ended up going with Peter,
yes,
did you have any trepidation that he was going to take the money?
No.
So you knew he was going to split with you if you picked
him. I felt like Peter was going to split the money with me from the very beginning. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And, like, watching his confessionals, like, it, like, seals the deal that it's, like, okay, boom, he actually, like, cared about me in some type of way that he's not going to leave me on this island broke.
Now, the biggest thing was, from this season, from season one, is the fact that Nikki sprung on you guys before the final decision that you had the option to take the power into your hands, which was you get offered the $100,000 if you chose yourself. We'll get to you, Tamaris, in a second. But, so for Louise and Mia, did that ever cross your guys' mind to say, I don't want to take a chance of them taking the money, splitting the money, or, you know, taking the money themselves. So I don't even want to put it on that. I want the money for myself. Mia, you go first.
Absolutely. I was like, I can walk away with this $100,000 and live my best life and don't have to worry about any man, you know. But there's something in the back of my head that was like, you can't do that. You're too good of a person. Don't hurt them like they're going to hurt you. Just let him take it if he wants to take it. And that's when I started weighing the options of Danny, Peter, like, is Danny going to take the money? Is Peter going to take the money? And I was like, Peter's not going to take the money. I can tell for sure. So I decided that taking the money and taking a huge risk of, you know, maybe one of these guys is going to take the whole 100K, that, you know, that's who I am. So maybe they really needed it.
So it's better to have $50,000 and a relationship than $100,000 and no relationship. Makes sense. It's understandable. Louise, what about you? Did you have any thoughts of taking the money yourself?
I'm not going to lie. I thought about it for a split second because I was just overwhelmed by the choice because my guys were so different. And I mean, so I was like, fuck this. What? Like, let me just take the money and leave. I don't want to make this decision. Like, let me make it easier. But then I was like, okay, no. I have a nice guy like Benedict. That would be completely unfair to him. Like, at that point, I just feel like it wouldn't make sense for me. And so I took the risk. But, yeah, okay. I don't think it was ever in the cards for me to take the whole 100K.
And it sounded – and it looked like – I mean, obviously, we know filming can last a long time and stuff gets reshot
it's
or whatever. But was there any was there a long amount of time, or how much time was between Nikki telling you guys that was an option for you versus you actually having to make that decision? Was it within 30 minutes or did this last a while? Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Mia?
Yeah. Okay. I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. So how long was it from the time Nikki announced it to the time you guys had to make your decision?
We had like half a day, I think, right?
Yeah.
Definitely
a half a day.
We had a half a day.
Not like a couple hours before finale.
Yeah.
I thought she told you it when you were sitting in the seats.
You know how reality TV works.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yes,
no.
Come on.
No, that's a good secret. Like, I mean, to us, the audience.
With the legal team.
We couldn't.
Yeah, because it's prize money. We have to deal with the legal team and lock in our answers. And that's how we knew if the guys were going to split the money or not.
That's right. Okay, that makes sense. So, final question for you, Mia. Where do you stand with Peter right now?
Peter and I are friends. I think we talk once or twice a month.
So that's friends and talk once or twice a month. So, okay, so what happened when you got back from filming? Did you try it and it just wasn't working? Or you left that you left the island and you were just like, no.
We left the island and it was like, yeah, no, I don't think it's going to work. We are two completely different people in two completely different states. Even though I go back and forth, you know, back home to like see my family, I just don't think it was going to work because of who I am.
but this whole time you were like, I'm into Peter. I'm stalking his Instagram. And then you picked him and you knew he was going to pick you. And then I guess the real world hits and you're just like, okay, he's not what I thought he was.
I wouldn't say he's not who I thought he was. He is exactly who he is. He is a very quiet, you know, not good at like communicating his feelings. He's like that in person. But I was hoping that maybe it was different, but it's not. And we have just remained like friends, and we talk back and forth. But who knows? Maybe it's me. Like the world is saying, maybe I'm the common denominator.
Well, I mean, look, obviously it's tough. It's tough to meet somebody on TV, and especially tough to meet somebody on TV and then get off the show and realize, okay, we're going to have to start out a long distance relationship, and not everybody can do that. And it's just not simple. Now, Tamaris, on the other hand, she just said, fuck it. I don't even have to worry about a relationship. I'll just take the money, which look, I'm pro Tamaris. I'm a huge fan of what you did. I think what you did kind of gave the show the shakeup that it needed, and I think it was a boss move. I'm really curious to see the response because we haven't seen this. We never got this ending in season one. I really don't think now there's an ending that can top this unless they change the format again in season three with the ending and how they choose to disperse the money. But I mean, you did something to where we hadn't seen it before. You totally caught Casey and Tom, Nico off guard. But, I mean, I guess my question to you is, going into this, starting the show, did you know that this was what you were going to do from the get-go? Or were you like, okay, because obviously you didn't know the actual ending of, hey, I have the option to take the money myself, but going into this, were you always like, hey, I'm an F girl. I'm just going there to have fun. If I meet somebody, whatever. But I'm an F girl at heart, so I don't care what happens with these guys.
Okay, I'm going to be completely honest.
Good.
I like older men. I'm a very mature woman. I went onto F-Boy Island knowing that these guys watched season one and they wrote in their journals of how they're going to try to play us. I went in coming in like, I've been an F girl before. I'm not going to allow these guys to manipulate me. I'm not going to allow these. I'm not going to believe any word that they say, even if they're a nice guy, because at the end of the day, you are coming on a show called F-Boy Island. You are either going to be an F-boy and take the 100K, or you're going to play it smart and come in as a nice guy and just split the 50K if you end up winning. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not going to allow someone to have the upper hand. None of these guys were going to make me look stupid. So I didn't come in like, I'm an F girl. I'm going to take all the cash. Like, fuck these guys. No, if I would have generally made a real genuine connection with one of these guys, I would have split the money. When I had the option, either take the 100K or split it with one of the guys, I really had to think about it. And I thought, like, can I see these guys in the future, like outside of this island? And I couldn't. And I wasn't in love. And I can't lie to myself and choose someone and split 50K. And it was never about the money, because regardless, I was going to win 50K regardless. But I had to pick myself. And I don't regret it after knowing all the facts and knowing how these guys are in the real world. So,
well, that's the crazy thing is that, you know, you and, you know, you have Casey, you had Tom, and I never thought that Tom fit your lifestyle whatsoever. But you had Casey, and so you brought in Nico for the final two, and both nice guys. So you knew, like you said, you knew you were getting 50 regardless. And then Nikki springs on you guys, hey, you can get 100 if you keep it to yourself, if you choose yourself. And so I guess I'm wondering if Nikki never presents that option at the end, and we're still season one rules where you were down to two nice guys. So you were going to get 50 and you had to make a choice between Casey and Nico. Who were you going to choose?
I was going to choose Casey. Me and Nico, I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt after I eliminated him quickly after the Kylan situation. And Tom was being Tom at the moment. And I had to do that switch. I gave Nico a try. It really didn't work out. He's like, sometimes I'm at a one, he's like at 100, and he has too much energy for me. I can't. It just didn't match. And then with Casey, that was the only kind of other person that I had a connection with to that extent. But also in the back of my head, I kept thinking, like, he has a girlfriend. I'm not stupid. And I had to think about that too. Like, I choose him, then I know that it's all a facade because he still was in a relationship or was going to go back with a girl. And I don't know if during the mansplain where Zach said that he will constantly call his ex-girlfriend. I don't know if that's shown. I don't know if you've seen that. It was just a lot of red flags with him. And he was really good at talking. Like, he is a public speaker. That guy can talk a room off and you just believe him. And you're like, okay, Casey, tell me whatever you want to tell me because I'm just going to listen. And I'm sorry. Like, yeah, it sucks that he's runner up for the second year in a row, but you are not going to fool me, honey. Oh, no.
Well, yeah, he was a good talker. And it, you know, he comes on the show as a nice guy, a reformed F-boy, and he says all the things that you want to hear. And us as an audience, we don't know. And I didn't follow him social media wise after the show. And when it was brought up on the show about having a girlfriend or going back to his girlfriend, I just, you know, we just don't know as an audience whether or not that's true. So are you saying that you're very well aware that the guy has a girlfriend, or he's already back with his girlfriend, or that was the whole plan? And him saying I'm a nice guy was just for show, basically.
I Casey is a nice guy, but there is a lot of layers that goes with him. And unfortunately, yes, he's still in a relationship. He is not with me. We do not talk. I think that it was kind of a facade. I hear stuff that he broke up with his girlfriend prior to going into season one, got with her after season one, then broke up with her before season two. And this is what I'm hearing. I don't know if it's true, but I mean, his TikTok and Instagram tell us differently that he's still in a relationship. So I am 100% proud of my decision, and I don't regret it. And I hope people don't feel bad for him when they see, like, he's in a just leave Casey alone. He has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Let him have his third chance in the real world. Okay. It's just not with me.
Let's hope if there's a season three that we don't get Casey coming back for a third season. I'm sure there'll be some guy from this season that is brought back for a season three, just like Casey was brought back for two. But I mean, I don't know who that would be, but they've done it already twice. They done with Peter and Casey. I gotta believe that somebody's coming back next season, assuming there is
they
a third.
They have to bring back two nice guys, and that's Jay Brynn and Benedict, and that'll be the show right there.
Yeah,
that's so.
Yeah,
Benedict.
Yeah. the world's gonna be clamoring for Benedict and saying, "Louise."
Everybody loves Benedict.
I know. Aww. No, he's. I mean, like I said, just funny guy. Yeah. I think one of the things I'm just going to ask you this. I'll just throw it out there. Let's start with you, Mia. Do you think that, do you like knowing in episode, I think it was six, yeah, end of episode six, into seven, because that was when Peter kind of left everybody hanging. Well, editing purposes, TV purposes made it episode seven, but they've done it now for two seasons where they let the women know in episode six what each guy is. Do you think that maybe it would be different if you didn't know that going into the finale and if you're still just going off instinct?
Yes.
Do you think that anything would have been different on your end if you had no idea that Peter and Danny were both F-boys, even though you probably thought they were? If you didn't know that and you were sitting in the chair at the end, would that have been a major factor in your choice?
I think if I didn't know that they were both F-boys, and I couldn't have that conversation with them about like how they actually felt about me, like trying to see through their status, I think I would have taken the whole 100K.
Hmm. Yeah. See? That I'm telling you, if I'm producing this show, I think next year they dump the episode six reveal. I think the women should go into the finale not knowing and make the choice from there. Just to make it a little bit tougher and switch it up.
Good luck for season three, girls.
Oop, don't call me back.
Yeah. Not there. So, Tamaris, what about you? I mean, obviously nothing would have changed your mind. You were going to take that money, but do you think that that's something that could be looked at for season three?
I hope they do that for season three and switch it up. Honestly, I think that shows like you're guessing the whole entire time whether they're actually there for you or not. Like, it's going to be a little bit more entertaining because we don't have that reveal. I would like to see that. I'm just happy it's not season two that had to see that.
Yeah.
we got to know, so good luck for the next girls.
Yeah.
I if they end up doing that, I commend them, if you know, but I do feel like some of the guys are going to take advantage of that, and yep, they might take the 100K. So
yeah. And then Louise, I mean, for you,
that
I'm guessing.
Terrifying.
And if they raise the money, yeah, and not tell the status, like let's say that they do 200K, right? If you're an F-boy, you can get 200K instead of 100. I'm just adding stuff. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Because that's all intrigue to where, because from season one to season two, they change it up by adding the option where you guys get to take your 100,000 if you wanted to choose yourself. They didn't have that in season one. But everything that they have done has always like protected the women. They're always seeming to protect you guys, because in season one, yeah, Garrett took the money, but then they said, fuck you, you have to give it to Sarah's charity. And then for this one, they protected you from basically, you know, they gave you the option. Because if they didn't give you the option, then Louise and Mia could have possibly walked away with nothing. But they gave you that option. So they've always done something to protect the leads, which I think is good. But for you, Louise, I mean, when episode six rolled around, you weren't surprised that Mercedes announced he was an F-boy and Benedict was a nice guy, right?
I mean, I was surprised that Benedict was a nice guy because he's
really
so good looking. His body is like, he's just chiseled. Like, so I was like, oh, well, maybe he's, you know, he's a comedian, he's a funny guy. Like, maybe he's an F-boy. So I was surprised. I mean, I was ecstatic when I found out that he was a nice guy. But I think it did, like, I was kind of, you know, it did kind of cloud my judgment a little, though, because then I was, like, all along I thought he had this, like, F-boy edge, I guess. And then, you know, it kind of, that went away. But I don't know. I think if I didn't know, I probably would have went with Benedict.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
So that proves that this would have been different, because Mia said she would have chosen the money, and you're saying you would have chosen Benedict if you went into the finale not knowing what each guy was. What? The security of, I know I at least have 50,000 because I think he's a nice guy? Would have been that?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because the way his actions were nice guy. Like, the things he would do for me were definitely things that were, like, nice guy.
I think, you know, especially for you, Louise, with someone like Mercedes who got the edit that he did, where we're constantly seeing him bragging about himself and talking about himself and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe he was hamming it up a little bit for the cameras, or maybe he really does think that highly of himself. But it's just so, I noticed when I'm watching this show, it seems really easy for any guy who's an F-boy or any guy that's being attacked by the other guys to say, oh, they're just jealous of me because they see our connection. And they're just saying that, and they're just coming after me because everybody came after Mercedes for the way he was talking to people and stuff like that. And all his response was every time was, hey, that's just them. You know, that of course they're coming after me. They know I'm better. They know I'm going to win or whatever. And was that hard for you to navigate, to know if he was actually telling the truth versus, or wait, is there something there with these other guys and what they're saying about him?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely hard to navigate because I obviously didn't see what was going on in the confessional, like in the interviews and stuff. But I didn't really know who to trust at that point because, you know, everybody was there for Benedict. Like, everyone loves Benedict. And Benedict isn't the type of guy to really, like, throw another guy under the bus either. So I was just like, I mean, it was really hard for me to navigate.
Tamaris, for you, during the mansplaining, and you said that was where it was first brought up about Casey, and yes, we did see that, someone bring up the fact that he still either talks to his or calls his ex-girlfriend, something along those lines. Was there anything during mansplaining that came up where you felt like, oh, shit, this kind of changes it for me? I know during mansplaining you obviously changed from Tom to Nico. But was there anything there that you were just like, oh, man, this is not going the way I expected it to?
I think, like, with Tom and him saying that he wanted kids and wanted to get married, knowing that we had a conversation about that numerous amount of times was just like, okay, like, my clear choice right now is Casey. Obviously, it's not Tom. I think right there at that moment, I was just like, I choose Casey at that point. And then Nico did his rant. And I was like, yeah, let's go, Nico and Casey. And I was like, trying to get the, I don't even know. Wait, did they put where Tom and Casey were both touching me and I was getting turned on?
They did. I mean, I watched the episode 4 days ago, so I'm trying to remember. Casey had his arm around you, and then when they brought up the ex-girlfriend, you told him to take his arm off you. I do remember that. You're like, can you take your arm? And he's like, oh, okay. And then he took it off you. But they did show, yeah, I think that I'm pretty sure they did. But that was the weird thing with Tom, because I know you had said you had that conversation with Tom numerous times that, one, you weren't interested in getting married, and two, you couldn't have kids. But that was the first time we heard anything when Tom was like, I want to have kids with you and get married. And you said, no, we can't. So that was kind of surprising, at least to us, the audience. But you're saying that you definitely had that conversation with him and he was well aware of it.
Yes, definitely were well aware of that, 100%.
And with you, Tamaris, I think I my favorite part, really, because it almost felt like an episode of a murder mystery in the fact that after you chose yourself, the show did a great job of editing doing flashbacks and showing all the instances during the season where you made references to the fact that this might be your decision in the end. You called yourself an F-girl. You said someone asked you, I think it might have been Nico, what motivates you? And you said money. And then a couple times, and then you said you were a cheater once, I think to Asante. Yeah, you told him, yeah, I was a cheater once. On the final date with Nico, you told him you had your F-girl ways. So after you choose it and then you say in your ITM, like, hey, it's not like I didn't warn these guys. And then we see this flashback of all the times that you did it. But the one flashback that I think a lot of people are probably going to maybe give you shit for is your goodbye to Tom. And right when you walk away from Tom crying, you say, give me my makeup, and then say, what was it, like, so long or bye or what, or whatever. That didn't happen, right?
Okay. So, like, after eliminating Tom and I'm saying my goodbye, like, I was crying. Like, that was very emotional because at the end of the day, I know that Tom is a genuine guy and he really did care about me. And throughout anyone else out of the show, I know that Tom was a real genuine guy and this wasn't the dating show for him.
No,
it wasn't. It was not, but it's fine. I did ask for makeup, yes, because I didn't want to come back out and see Nico and Casey and see them, like, my makeup falling apart. And then you said I laughed, or I said I'm done.
Yeah, you said, I'm trying to remember what the word was, but the phrase was. It was a quick chuckle and I'm done, or let's go, or move on. It was almost like move on, but it we don't see you say it. It was clearly, it seemed like it was edited.
I definitely need makeup 100%.
Yeah.
But laughing after, definitely didn't. I probably was more upset that I didn't get makeup. So, yeah, they told me no.
And I have a question for you, Mia, and this is something that I pondered all season. Where did you guys film again? Was this Virgin Islands or Cayman Islands? Where was this?
Cabo.
Oh, it was in Cabo. Okay. Why does Peter wear turtlenecks in Cabo?
I don't know.
No, at night it was cold.
At night it cold? Was freezing.
It was okay. Cold. But he was wearing them seemingly during the day, it seemed like. I don't know. Maybe there were times where he had it on.
He owns like 20 or 30 like turtlenecks.
Isn't he an Express model? He probably got it from Express.
Yeah, he probably got it from Express, but I don't understand. I'm like, dude, it's 90 degrees outside. It's either he's in a turtleneck with pearls around his neck, or he's like in a t-shirt with pearls around his neck. The man's strange.
Well, especially when he goes with, the black turtleneck with the black cap. He looks like a cat burglar. I mean, he literally looks like he's going to climb into through somebody's window and steal jewelry or steal their cat. It's really.
The black shoes with the white socks.
I mean, maybe that's why you're not with him.
Yes, with the white socks. It's so bad.
It was so cold though. It got really cold at night there.
Did it? What? So, yeah. So all the elimination ceremonies. I don't even remember what they're called.
Oh, I was shaking. It was so cold. We had to like hand warmers and put them in
some suspicious places that we shouldn't talk about where we put.
Yeah, all I'm saying is we deserve an Oscar for that performance right there because it was ice cold.
Which
awesome. Like the guys had the fire pit and we're like up there eliminating them freezing. Like we're like frozen up there.
And you guys were always in dresses that showed a lot of skin, so yeah, I got to imagine you were completely freezing up there.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so one final thing, or let's start with you, Louise.
My service is not good.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Louise? I can see you, and it hasn't frozen yet, but can you hear me, Louise, or no?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, it's a little bit wonky, but that's all, we'll wrap it up. So where do we go from here, Louise? Where do you live? What are you doing, and what have you been doing post-show, and what are your future plans here?
So I'm currently living in Miami, but I am looking to move to either LA or New York. I'm not exactly sure yet. That's been kind of a toss up for me, but I'm modeling. I have a YouTube channel. I've been posting bi-weekly on my YouTube channel. Check it out. Subscribe. Shameless plug.
No, but, go ahead.
That's really what I've been focusing on lately is my YouTube.
What is your YouTube? Is it modeling videos?
So I do try on hauls. I have makeup tutorials, hairstyle tutorials. I love doing hair. I like started my YouTube channel with baddie hairstyles. So it was like how to look like baddie on a budget type of thing. And then
not on a budget. Okay. Let me just say that. You are never on a budget.
Okay. Baddie period. Anyway. So that's how I started it. And then I don't know. I've done like swimwear hauls too, but I'm trying to get into vlogging a little bit more, so
okay.
I've done like smoothie tastings. I'm a big smoothie fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And Mia, you're in the dental world, right?
Yeah, I am.
Are you in the office right now?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I was gonna say you're in scrubs. And so I'm like,
yeah, I'm in scrubs and my glasses. I'm like looking back.
Yeah.
But, you know, post-show for me, I am currently living in Miami, going to dental school, and I'm working as a dental assistant, like, since the show ended at an endodontist office. before school starts. I've been taking some time to reflect on, you know, my bad picker and trying to stay as single as possible. I think right now I can say I am in my F-girl phase. Oh. And I am, you know, just living my best life, just dating men, dating women. Like, I don't care. And yeah, just spending some time with my family. They're a big part of my life. So,
Tamara's rubbing off on you. Great. It's your F-girl phase.
Tamara's rubs off on me a lot, yeah. You know?
And then Tamaris, obviously, have you done anything? What did you do with the, well, actually, I don't know. Have you gotten paid? Or does it, you don't get paid until the show finishes airing, right? Okay. So then I'll just ask, what is your plan at least to start off with your winnings?
Honestly, I'm a big saver or an investor. So it's either invest 100K or save the 100K. Obviously, it's not going to be 100K because taxes, you know, they're going to take a whole bunch out. So yeah. Whatever I have remaining. But that's kind of it. Right now, what I do, I currently live in Miami and I am part of a startup company that's creating the metaverse and creating what the metaverse will look like and what kind of products and more to come within the next couple of years. But I sing and model and just having a best time.
Yeah.
We make a song together.
I did not know that all three of you were in Miami.
So
you guys have hung out probably a lot together since the show ended.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, Mia doesn't work out, but me and Louise ride bike like literally probably every other day.
I don't do the working out thing. I go for the outfits and the smoothies afterwards.
But she's for the fun stuff.
Yeah, you won't catch me. I'm the friend that's like, oh, let's go rug making or
candle making.
Candle making. Like, that's me. But I will go and look cute in my outfit, sipping my smoothie.
Well, since you guys all live in Miami, I don't think you probably knew of each other before the show, but now knowing you're together and you guys have spoken numerous times and hung out numerous times post-show, did you guys have mutual friends that you found out about once you realized that you were all from the same area?
I don't think so. I feel like Tamaris and I might have, but
yeah, I don't know. I mean, from the club scene. We know a lot of mutual people from the club scene.
We know Genesis.
Oh, and then Pageant. Yeah. Me and Mia from Pageant. I know a lot of Pageant girls and Miss Puerto Rico and Miss Boston and Mia was obviously Miss Delaware.
That's right. Miss Delaware. What year was that, Mia?
I was Miss Delaware Teen USA 2014, Miss Delaware USA 2017, Miss Delaware Earth 2019, Miss Earth USA Water 2019. Miss Top Model of the World 2020, and now they're probably never going to allow me to do another pageant because I cuss a lot on TV.
Miss Earth. You won it? You won Miss Earth?
I won Miss Earth Water, so that's basically like the third like best girl on the stage.
The planet? Miss Earth Water. I had no idea.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of different places that you can go to be in a pageant world, but we know a lot of the same people. And then I just recently moved down here. I was in the Tampa area for quite some time, for about 5 years, and then I needed a change of scenery, I would say, so I moved to Miami
to avoid the Korean poppy.
Mutual is actually in Tampa too. Yeah,
that what, Louise?
No, I sang. Mia and I had mutual friends in Tampa too, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that we didn't even know.
Yeah.
From modeling, because I worked for a prom dress company, and she knows a lot of people who modeled for us. So.
And Tamaris, you go to your roots are New York, right?
Yeah.
How long have you been down in Miami?
I've been down in Miami for about 11 years, but I'm always back and forth. I love New York, but no longer in the winter. You won't, by a certain time, you're not going to catch me in New York City unless it's like something big that I'm doing over there. By like November all the way until probably February, you would not see me in New York.
No, April.
That's not New York.
I think we all come from like snowy states, like Delaware, New York, Michigan, and we're like
Michigan. Yeah,
that's where
I was born in Connecticut, so I know it was cold.
That's where you're from, Louise, Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan and like northern Michigan. So we get the lake effect snow. Like you walk outside, there's 4 feet of snow on the ground.
Wow. And you, how long have you been in Miami?
About a little over 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think not even knowing that you guys were all in Miami area, I didn't realize that. But it is kind of cool to know that probably even if you weren't, you guys seem really close from this experience. And I think, you know, I don't think there's going to be anything. Obviously, you never know what the future entails, but I think it's something to where it sounds like you guys are going to be in each other's lives for the rest of your life in some
way.
They'll
be my bridesmaids at my wedding.
There you go.
All my crazy
But what if there's a change of heart and you end up marrying the Korean poppy? Would they still be your bridesmaids? I just think that's the funniest name.
I don't know if I support it. No, I'm kidding.
I think all the guys even from that show would object to that marriage.
You know what?
What are you going to fight the whole cast?
Yeah. They'd be like, no.
You know what? I didn't even ask this. Let me end with this. Is there any guy, let's start with you, Tamaris. Is there any guy from that was in the other girls' final four that maybe interested you after the fact? And, you know, same for Mia, same for Louise, but for you, Tamaris, or was it always just, you know, Casey, Tom, Nico, you know, Asante, Jabrian? Was there any guys that you were just like, oh, maybe some other ones?
Ew. No.
No?
No.
Yeah, not really.
Okay, I can't get down the list. Danny, that was my friend since day one. We spoke about it. That was it. Peter, he's short. I'm good. I don't know how Mia did it. I'm so sorry. Oh my God, Peter, I love you as a friend, but I am so sorry. Please don't hate me for
how
saying
tall
that.
Is he?
I don't know, but he's short to me. I can't. Mercedes, I don't know. The vibe was off. Couldn't. Benedict, he is super cool. I think of him like a brother. So
I think Benedict gets that a lot. He got it from Louise, certainly.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I.
Say that again, Louise.
Oh, I was just saying, I don't think I ever really like had any regrets with the people that I picked.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
But.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of interesting to look at. And I didn't even know, like, when I was thinking about it, I was like, yeah. Who was the guy in the very first day that got double or all three? You gave him your pass or whatever.
Oh,
and then
Jared.
And then
Cass, please.
And then he was gone like episode. Wasn't he gone at the second elimination?
No, it was like third or fourth.
He was a bad nice guy.
He was
an awful nice guy. He was like a nice guy.
He's not a nice guy. Do you remember what happened in during premiere?
What I'm saying, he was a nice guy.
Oh,
like he told like Louise the same thing that he told Tamaris, and then like tried to play it off on me like I don't know what
I can't hear you.
I was like, dude, don't come to me because I'm gonna tell you you're about to get eliminated, and that's just like, because you need to learn how to keep your mouth shut.
Oh, okay. I just remember him getting the three, and then I don't remember him ever developing any sort of connection with any of you. And he was gone early, or it seemed like he was gone early. But
I honestly thought Jared was cute.
They cut out a swerved kiss with him. He tried to kiss me after apologizing for it coming after both of us. And they cut that out.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Did he ever try and kiss you, Tamaris or Mia? Did he ever try with you guys?
No, he just tried to touch my leg a lot.
I wasn't Jared's type.
Yeah, he would try to touch your leg in a comforting way, and I'm just like, this is not working.
Like,
no.
Where in the real world where you meet someone on the first day and you're automatically touching her leg? where do you think that that's appropriate in any type of world that you're in? You're meeting someone for 5 minutes and you think it's okay to put your hand on someone's leg when you don't know them. I don't know.
This is fascinating. But we do have to wrap up here. You guys, I really appreciate you coming on. You made F-Boy Season Island a huge success. I hope, you know, in the last 24 hours since this has been released, that people aren't too harsh on you guys. Because it's one thing to obviously criticize and be like, oh, I would have chosen this guy, or oh, I would have done this, or whatever. It's very easy for somebody behind a computer to say that. Don't let it get to you. Don't let it affect you. Whatever they say, there are trolls out there, and people are going to hate. But I would just say, I thought you guys did an excellent job. Like I said at the very beginning, didn't do much for the good guys of the world, because now we figure we're all going to lose to F-Boys since Louise and Mia decided to choose F-Boys. But I really thought you guys did a great job. You were three great leads. It was very fun to watch. I wish you all the best of success in the future, and good luck with everything.
Thank you.
You got it. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thank you.
Well, that was a lot of fun. Thank you to Louise, Mia, and Tamaris for that. I hope you guys watched the episode and the final two episodes that were released on Thursday and just really enjoyed the show. And I think I kind of equate what Tamaris did to what Nick Peterson did on the final season of Bachelor Pad. Like, once you do that and pull that and being like, I'm taking the money to myself, what ending could this show possibly have with this current format? Because clearly they could change the format and then we could get a different ending. But with this current format, Tamaris just changed the game. She flipped it, saying, I'm the F-girl, and I'm controlling the shots here, and I'm taking the money. I thought it was such a boss move, and I know that there are probably people out there that think, oh, that sucks, why'd you do that to Casey? Look, seems like Casey's fine, considering what Tamaris said in that interview about him having a girlfriend, but I had absolutely no problem with what Tamaris did. I thought it was a great, great ending. And like I said to her, I love the fact that it almost was turned into like the end of Scooby-Doo or end of any murder mystery where they gave you flashbacks. And it's not like Tamaris came out of the blue with that. She dropped hints all season long that, hey, I'm an F-girl. And she owns it. And props to her for that. You know, I think Louise, as I said in the very beginning, I think she's going to take some heat because I think everybody in the world loves Benedict. I think they think he's hilarious, and he is. If you haven't seen Benedict's work on Twitter or Instagram, go check it out. It's Benedict Polizzi, P-O-L-I-Z-Z-I, I believe, on Instagram. And guy's just funny and does a lot of funny sketches, some of my favorite sketches on Twitter, you know. Johnson, this guy, if you know what I'm talking about, that made a lot of sense to you. If you have no idea, then you need to go follow him on Twitter and Instagram. But yeah, Louise is probably going to take the most because everybody saw how Mercedes acted and everybody saw how Benedict acted. And I think a lot of more people were drawn to someone like Benedict, who just seems like a great guy. And Mercedes, you know, thinks he walks on water. I mean, just the way he came across on the show. Maybe he, like I said, maybe he hammed it up for the cameras, but, you know, it was what it was. It was very entertaining. It was a very entertaining show. I really liked the ending. I liked the fact that they gave the women the power to choose being single and taking the $100,000 themselves. And when Tamaris pulled that on Casey and Nico, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was the best moment in the first two seasons, for sure. So good luck to them. Thank you, Louise and Mia and Tamaris, for coming on. And thank you all for listening to this podcast. Again, please rate, subscribe, and review in Apple Podcasts. And we'll be back next week with yet another episode. I'm Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. And we will talk to you next week.